we start our brand new podcast, Mind Yourself. I'm Debbie Halls-Evans, and we want to just do it a little bit different. We made an instant podcast on the back of Double D Do Business, which is our first episode, which we're sharing now. We would love you to continue to follow us as we now use our own podcast, Mind Yourself. There is lots of information coming up. Some of it is sensitive and some of it is very personal to us. Thank you for listening, and hopefully we can help you and anybody around you.
Welcome to Double D Do Business, and you're here today with Dave Evans. Debbie Halls-Evans is here. Debbie, say hi. Now, this is a slightly different Double D Do Business today because, as we all know, businesses comprise of people. People are usually individuals. And there's been a real sad event today in the United Kingdom that I'm going to ask our esteemed guest to tell us about. Sorry, Debbie. Would you like to tell us why today, Debbie, you're a guest?
Okay, so today we are going to talk about a really in-depth topic, very personal to us, and with me I've got my daughters Georgina and Bethany. Say hi, girls.
Hi.
We're going to talk about suicide, and suicide is really prevalent, and the reason what's prompted us to do this tonight very impromptu is that we lost my husband and the girl's dad to suicide. He died by suicide when he was 28 years old. And the girls were very small. Betty was 3.5 and Georgia was 8 months old. And what we want to do is we want to be able to help, support, guide, and just do something. And I think one of the things that happened tonight is we've all heard about the young woman, Caroline Flack, who is a UK personality. But what it's done for us, it's prompted the fact that somebody's had to make a choice. They've made a personal choice through their own personal pain, and that their only solution, that individual that we don't know, but we know that the person that we loved also had to be in a place that they didn't know or couldn't explain or didn't know how to take themselves further forward, and actually made a decision that impacted so many people. And I think what we want to do is be able to highlight this and support other people. We don't know what that even looks or feels like, do we, girls?
No, I think it's what's made me feel really sad tonight is none of us knew Caroline Flack, and yeah, we did see her on TV.
Debbie, you did meet her, didn't you?
But I think more the point is when you've experienced suicide in a family, you know how much that then hurts friends and family of that person, because it is sad. It's horrific that she's felt that's her only way out, but equally it's then horrific for the family, and the family will never get over that, and neither will her friends. And it's, I think that's what is really sad.
And in today's podcast, we want to be really clear to all of our normal listeners that this podcast is dedicated to best self. And best self sometimes is a pursuit of this being your absolute magnificent, strongest, most enduring version of who you are. But today we're taking the soft side of this. This is about sometimes best self is the wrong subject. Sometimes self is the only subject. And I want to support you today. We are a modern family, Debbie, today, all right? I'm proud to have Bethany, Georgina, and Debbie, and of course Max in my life. Yet the experience you've gone through has left a permanent scar in all of your lives. And I also want to highlight that this is not about a momentary thing. This is about three real people, daughters and a mom, talking about something that they've been living with right now here on this podcast. So let's go to Georgina. Georgina, great to have you here. And how do you cope with this, if you can cope at all?
I honestly feel like my situation compared to my sister's and my mum's has been vastly different, and I think it's you need to also understand that, and that's also hard to get through as well, knowing that your mum's dealing with it in a different way and so is your sister, and that you're all grieving completely differently. And it's also such a hard thing to talk about, but I've grown up, we've spoke about it so openly, so I've never sat down and got myself into a dark place about it, because we've been able to speak openly about it, and we've been able to talk about my dad, and I've been able to ask questions. And I think that's really, really important growing up, knowing I didn't know my dad. And there are other children out there that have lost their parents that probably are in the same situation as me, that have all these questions, but also they don't want to ask them because they don't want to bring these kind of memories up, because they know that it's going to be hard for the parent or the sister. Whereas my sister and my mum can share memories together that they will remember, whereas I don't have that. So I think it's just such a different grieving process for all of us. And it's just such a hard thing to deal with, even growing up now that I have children of my own, because the thought of my children going through the feelings that I've had is just utterly heartbreaking.
Do you not think that having children of your own really makes you feel more passionate about it? Like, now I've got Seb, I think I could never comprehend ever being in a place like Dad was and feeling suicidal and how horrific that must be. But now I've got Seb and he is like my world, and I mean, I'm married, you're engaged. I think when you're in that place of security with your partner as well, I guess it really heightens how dark that place must have been for him.
Yeah,
you know, because your family are your everything really, and it takes something just something.
But it's also now that
beyond words,
it's also now that I do have Jack, and he is the dad to our boys. It also has a lasting effect on me that I've got like this anxiety in my head that the thought of him leaving is just beyond words for me. Like I get myself really worked up about it, and I think that's also because of what we've been through. I don't think I'd have those feelings. It's not a natural feeling to constantly worried about your partner leaving.
Isn't that good that you can say that openly? That you can say, like, that is an anxiety that you have. And I'm sure you do talk about Jack, but you can talk to Jack about it, you talk to me about it, you can talk to Mum about it. But how incredible that something so horrific that happened to us as a family, it's almost embedded in you to talk. Because Mum, you always used to say, nothing's ever that bad. You always talk about it.
And I think there's a couple of points that have come up here which are really, really important, because we've got to understand that this is us talking, and we talk a lot, and we do. And, you know, this is not about perfect lives, because we don't all live perfect lives, and we know that. But it's about everybody experiences the same thing differently. And I think what you've just said before, George, is really, really important. We've actually all experienced the same death, okay? But every single one of us has got a completely different experience, emotion, and everything, and all the time that's gone on is so different. You know, I'm not you. Years ago, and I've said this to you openly before, when Betty was about four and a half, and one day we were both in a very sad place, and Betty had asked why I was crying, and just, this is a very small child, and I just said I said I was sad, and she said, not being sad, you don't know what it's like, because I've lost my daddy and you've lost a husband. And this was a small child saying that, and I think one of my biggest realization was that I will never know what it feels like to be either of you two, and I'll never know what it'll be like to be you, Georgie, in your experience, or Betty, because they're both just your daughters of somebody who's not here, but again, they're still very individual episodes and things that you're going through. So that's one bit I want to understand, is get everybody to understand, is that we cannot, no matter how much we think we can, is say to somebody, I know how you feel, because we don't. So that's really important. So that power of being able to sit and just listen, or even just sit in silence, is really important, because just being present is what is fundamentally a lot of people are missing, and they feel that they're doing something wrong. And by doing that, somebody will eventually open up and talk. And then the other thing is about how do we then translate this into our own lives? So Bet's highlighted already that every single person related to Caroline Flack, even if it's just somebody who's seen her on the TV, will have some sense of feeling or connection and loss. That's what happens. Genuinely, that's what happens. But I think the poignancy about this particular situation of us all being here talking, and that we want to do this now, we're going to do this every week. We've already got our first guest, which I'm delighted about. And I think what it is that we have to understand, if we don't let people feel comfortable and open, we're never going to be able to move forward with people feeling that it's okay to say.
I agree with you 100%, Debbie. So again, there are people listening to this as part of Double D Business. So I want to just bring in some questions to the three of you. So what's driving you to do this? And by the way, you said about we've already got a guest on what?
Okay,
so let's explain what that is.
So what the girls and I have just mentioned is what we would like to do is, I think we all felt quite shook by this. I think because it's public.
But it feels relatable. I think that's really important. Yes. Mm. And for anyone who is listening to this, who has experienced suicide, whether it be, you know, someone you went to school with years ago, or someone as close as a parent or a husband or a wife, whatever it is, it does have an effect on you. So it does feel, what's happened tonight with Caroline Flack will feel relevant to somebody somewhere. So even like my husband, Tom, feels relevant to him, and he understands the sadness through me and through what I've told him. So everyone somewhere will be able to relate to it.
Yeah. So what we want to do is we want to be able to create an open audience conversation, which as three people that have got our own individual experiences but have gone through the same loss, we want to be able to do something about it. And we fundamentally want to make a difference. We want to be able to say, how do we, it feels like it's like every day you hear something so tragic. And we can say that's because, you know, social media, or that we have the ability, technology gives us the insight to see and hear more things. Maybe, I don't know the statistics right now, but I'll make sure we research it for the program. But we're going to create a podcast which Bethany, Georgie and myself will host, and we're going to bring people together. People that...
What's the podcast going to be called?
It's going to be called... We're going to use the same platform that is still going, is Mind Yourself.
Yeah.
Part of the Mind Yourself platform is I set it up several years ago in regards to... It was actually a very personal project in regards to just being a cathartic way of expelling my emotions and feelings, because I actually didn't have anywhere to go. I'm not the kind of person who goes and joins a club and sits and talks to people. That's not who I am. So my process was to do this, and having the ability, if I'd been able to listen to something and hear that actually what I'm feeling is normal, or actually somebody else may have gone through it, I don't know how that would have helped, but I know it would have helped, if that makes sense. So that's what we want to do. And then we want to also just be able to make a difference to even just one person. And I think one of the things that we all want to do is to stop this societal impact that we have, where we treat other people in such a horrible, unkind way. We're making judgments by people we don't even know. We're making decisions and saying things, whether we write it online or we think it's funny, or it's not. Somebody else is receiving that information in such a personal way that it's devastating. And it's devastated people's lives, and we've got to stop this. So, you know, whether it's three of us, you know, but I know we can do something. And if we affect one person, then we've done enough.
Well, from an RLC perspective today, Debbie, as part of Double D Business, I'd like to ask our listeners to make an emotional commitment to listening to the three of you so far, and more in a moment, that go out of your way in the next 7 days, go out of your way in the next 24 hours, go out of your way to find one person and check they're okay. You know, the world is obsessed at the moment with well-being. Big companies, small companies are all having to talk about well-being. Let's move on to that for a moment. Do you believe, and I'll ask each of you the same question. So Georgie, I'm going to ask each of you the same question, which is this. Do you believe well-being in the workplace is sincere, or is it just another fad? Georgie, let's go to you first. What do you think? And we're not talking about, Georgie, your work here, just to be really clear.
Yeah, we're not.
We're talking about the general workplace, okay?
Yeah. I will talk about my work, though, because I think they're absolutely outstanding. In regards to your mental health and in regards to your physical well-being too. But I also do understand that I work for a very, very large corporate company that are able to do that. But I do think it makes a huge difference. And I deal personally with people who are affected by mental health everyday work. So I'm actually qualified in mental health first aid. So it means that I'm able to talk to these people and relate to them in a way that they can feel comfortable enough to talk to me. And I do actually believe that the company I work for do care enough about the employees to do that. Unfortunately, I know that other companies aren't as on board with things like this. But I do think it will start to become a thing, 100%.
Well, I hope so. Bet, what are your thoughts?
I think there's a lot of companies that like to think that they do the right thing with mental health. But it's difficult, really, because I guess mental health isn't always as black and white as something like you're off for 2 weeks because you got tonsillitis and the doctor knows how to fix that. Mental health isn't the same for everybody, is it? And I guess that's maybe where it is more difficult in the workplace. And not many people know how to talk about it or know how to respond to it. I don't know, I guess, I know there's a lot of people that could turn around to their boss and say, I'm struggling with anxiety. And that manager isn't trained in knowing what to say back. Does that make sense? It's not like saying, I feel sick today, or I feel I'm going to be sick, right, go home sort of thing. No one really knows how to properly respond to that.
Yeah.
And...
But that same manager, Beck, could also be forced by their boss to justify the performance of the person who's not in a great mental space.
Yeah, absolutely.
May never know, and then makes decisions on the back of it, because not enough care has been put into the situation. Debbie, what do you think?
Well, I've got really strong opinions about this, and you know, having worked in corporates for a very long time and worked with many corporates, I do, and I validate what the girls are saying. I think there is some really great businesses out there supporting and helping people in a genuine and understanding way, bless you. I think the other thing that I'm challenged with is that we use the word, we're going to be inclusive to help people's mental health. If we take a reality check around the situations, and I'm going to use high profile things. So if we think of people like the beautiful Caroline Flack, high profile lady who always presented herself with a beautiful smile on her face, always looked healthy and happy and, you know, lived the lifestyle that we all perceived to be perfect. I go to people like Robin Williams, who is a megastar in his own right. But I had so many mental health issues, but never portrayed them. He was a comedian. He made people laugh. That was his job. So I think for me, what we do is the people who are candidly so in a situation and wrapped up in serious mental health issues are not going to come and sit in a well-being class in a business and say, this is how I'm feeling. They're not going to do it, because what happens is, in our experience, if I think about Peter was a 28-year-old healthy man who, and I was a 25-year-old woman at the time, and you know, at no point externally or in my naivety at 25 years old did he ever display that this was going to be a decision in his life that he felt he had to make. So we've got to be really conscious of making something inclusive and doing well-being at work. Intention is hugely positive, and I understand that. But what it doesn't do is actually deal with the issue of the people that have got it, and how, and this is what I would like to believe that the girls and I can really help and start advocating, is how do we get people that genuinely, you know, don't want to go and sit in a well-being meeting at work, or don't want to tell the boss this is really how they're feeling. Mm-hmm. How do we expose it? And I think that's what I'd like us to learn over the, you know, the ensuing months and years, that we can do something about it. And actually start making a difference to people and to other businesses. Sorry, girls.
No, I just think we forget how important it is to listen to things. So, like, when I was, when I started my journey with motherhood, I became, like, totally obsessed with a podcast called Happy Mum, Happy Baby. And it's because it was, like, a real podcast with real mums on there who were not, I guess, sugarcoating anything. So they were saying, do you know what? Yeah, some nights I do wake up and I just think, why have I had a baby? Because I'm just exhausted and I'm crying and I'm you know, I'm filled with all these different emotions and hormones. And I felt really passionate about that then, because I thought, you know, as soon as you find out you're pregnant, everyone's the first person to tell you, like, you're lucky to have fallen pregnant, and, you know, how amazing it is having a baby. It's not always like that. And my point is that that's the same with life. There are points in life that are absolutely incredible, but there are also dips in life. So if you've got something to listen to, where it's people saying, hey, do you know what? I actually feel like shit and I don't know who to talk to about it. And I don't want to go to the doctors and they just throw tablets at me. But equally, I don't want to ring Samaritans, or I don't want to speak to my family about it, so I don't want to feel like a burden. Imagine just having something to listen to. Because I remember being in that place that was slightly different. I didn't feel suicidal and I didn't feel like it was impacting my mental health, but I felt like I needed to listen to something that was relevant to me, that I could think, God, yeah, I really feel like that and I don't feel bad now. And does that make sense?
Yeah, of course it does.
Because I don't want to be in a group. I don't want to be going to new mum groups, because that's not my thing either. I don't want to be sat in, you know, the local village hall drinking a watery cup of tea and everyone telling me how amazing it is to have a baby. I don't want that. I want to listen to people saying, yeah, it's really tough, but we still love it. We're not saying we regret having a baby. We're just saying that sometimes it can be really hard.
I think that's honestly very, very true. And it's also about being in their own environment. I think when you're in a really, really crappy place in your head, the last place you want to be is in a doctor's office or is in going to therapy. You just feel like you're the odd one out. Like, why should I be sat here getting tablets off a doctor? I want to be at home in bed in my own little space, in my own little world. And I think that's really important to somebody that is struggling, to whack the headphones in, curl up in a ball and just listen to normal people have normal conversations about the situation that they've got through, and know that it can be solved and nothing's ever been that bad.
Do you know what it is as well, sis? I think people are so scared to talk to other people that have got mental health, because you as a human being assume that you have to resolve that person's problems, and that's not what they're trying to do. If I say to you, I've had a really, really horrible day and I can't stop crying and I've felt like this for a few weeks and I'm just, you know, I'm not really sleeping at night, I'm not telling you that for you to say, right, you need to go out and buy some Calms tablets and, you know, put some lavender under your pillow and write everything down. I'm not asking for you to solve it for me. I just want you to listen to me and maybe say, like, why do you think you're feeling like that, and is there anything that I can do to help? Or I don't know, people just automatically think that they have to solve people's problems, don't they?
Yeah, and I think what happens there as well is by somebody else giving you this solution, the person will feel worse, because they'll feel that they're incompetent or incapable or
there's a right way to deal with it. Also,
yeah, it's invalidate. Can you imagine if you're already in a really bad place and somebody then says, yeah, but you should, if you did it this way, you then got straight
the
back
worst
into
thing to
the
say,
spiral.
It goes back to the grieving thing as well, when people put a label on how you're meant to grieve. Or I saw something on social media the other day about a lady that lost a son, and all these trolls were saying to her, how can you post a picture smiling? And it just like blew my mind that these people had were able to even one comment on this woman's post, something so awful, but also have an opinion on how she should grieve, because it's a completely personal thing.
It just blew my mind. Yeah, you can be grieving and you can be laughing and you can be loving life for a moment, and then guess what happens? It hits you like a sledgehammer and suddenly the emotion overtakes, and then, you know, half an hour later you might be in a different place. That is ultimately what grieving is. It is constant up and down, and it dissipates to a point of the pain isn't as raw, but the pain still exists. And I think that's the difference, you know? So ultimately what I want to do is, I want to, for us three, which will be great for us as well, because the process is healing and it does help, and it does have an open channel that people know that you can say things that, you know, if they're your opinion, they're your opinion. As long as you're not just, sorry, Dave, I've just called you Pete. That's so relevant, sorry. But in regards to it, it's okay to have an opinion. It's okay to think differently. It's okay to have bad thoughts. It's okay to have good thoughts. The difference is that we have to learn to respect other people and be kind to other people. And sometimes that just means shut up. Yeah. And
turn your bloody phone off and actually go and have a human-to-human connection conversation with somebody. Instead of, like you just said, Georgie, nobody's got the right. Somebody would have posted that picture, and I can only imagine that woman, of that she just wanted to feel normal for a moment.
Yeah.
She didn't want to feel this spiral of grief. So to be able to smile would have been important.
But I think just to segue back into the podcast recording today, I think that the challenge with what Georgina has highlighted and you've just discussed too, it's bringing up one of your favorite words, Debbie, mm-hmm. which is assumption. None of what Georgie or you said is likely to be anything to do with the actual reason that picture was even posted. So what I'd like to ask you to also do, you did say you would check the stats on this.
Yeah.
Do study encouraged both good and bad to find out the effects of social media. I think we live in a world today with today's news, right? And I also want to call out a really important paragraph I did see in one of the tabloids that did take the time to write that with Caroline Flack, the family have asked for respect. Now, not all the tabloids have taken that tack, but that's the tabloids. Democracy, freedom of writing, very confusing rules and regulations around what's allowed and what isn't. And we have to learn a couple of things, I think. We've got to stop believing the press.
Yeah.
We've got to stop believing social media.
Yeah.
And we've got to start believing in human beings again.
Yeah, and conversation.
And conversation, and contact, and connection.
Yeah.
One bit.
I just want to say, I think on the point of like what Georgie said about that lady posting something, there are no rules for social media, which can be a massive negative thing. I think that's what we've seen tonight with what's come out about Caroline Flack. But equally, if someone's posting something and you don't like it, don't let it bother you. Do you know?
And click.
You know, if someone's posted themselves and they're naked, or they've posted a picture of the dog eating a Chinese, you know, it doesn't matter. Like, stop getting so bothered about it. It's not your life. It's not affecting you. So stop getting so hung up on it. Everyone is entitled to do what they want, and they can post what they want. If they want to post 7,000 pictures of the baby every single day, that is fine. That is relevant to them. It's making them happy. Just stop.
I think
I've
got like a love-hate relationship to social media, because I personally love it and document my life and I can catch up with my friends, but I also see the side which is just so negative and it's so draining and you get sucked into it and you can be on it for hours on end. But even tonight I posted a quote about this Caroline Flack situation, just said on the bottom, if anyone needs to talk, I'm always here. And somebody that I know messaged me and just said I needed to read that, and a whole paragraph about how they've been in a really dark place. And I was just like, wow, like this person felt that they could open up to me, even via social media. That might be so little to somebody else, but to me, that's massive. But they felt like they could do that. And if I've helped that one single person tonight with that one post, that's amazing. And I just think social media has that effect. Like, it's so 50-50, you can go either way with it. And I think it's more about, they need to have stricter rules about who can post what, and people need to take accountability for their actions on social media, because it is detrimental and people are dying because of it. It's not a case of it's just bullies online. Like, people are taking their own lives because of this. And I think even if we could start some sort of petition, you know, to get these trolls that just mindlessly posting.
Like Jessie Nelson won all those awards at the NTA.
Yeah.
And she did that incredible documentary about how social media has affected her. And I agree, sis, like social media can be amazing, but equally, and it is like that 50-50 split.
I think
you know, these are amazing topics, and I think we'll get guests on who can specialize in this and can focus on this and can give us insights as well. You know, we need to talk to neuroscientists, we need to understand and explore more, but we also need to talk to people who have got a human experience like us, like our family, but also other people that are experiencing it, and actually see it from every single aspect. Because the difference here is, the more we understand, the kinder we will be to other people. And if we don't understand, guess what we start with? We just start with kind. That we only ever start with being kind, and we stop assuming. So I think, you know, for tonight, I think we wanted to get this out now, because for us, it was about immediate action. So we want to be able to plan and start actually helping people.
So Debbie, I'm going to start recapping.
Yes.
Before I get into that, I want to just share a thought and observation. 25 years ago, isn't it, that Pete left the world? Yes. And no one will ever forget, Pete. No. Ever. Right? Yet you are sat here today showing anyone listening that healing is possible. Mm-hmm. And that healing might carry on for the rest of your life. But you are here today doing your very best as a role model to work your way through it.
Yep.
And many years ago, there was a workshop where I was telling a story about dealing with darkness. Whatever you think darkness is, we're not here to talk about, define it, and consider what it might be.
That's relevant.
Yeah, it is. But I did tell an old phrase from the Lord's Prayer. And it says, yea, though I walk through the valley of evil, valley of darkness, I fear no evil. And I was highlighting the fact that the key word in that phrase is walk. Walk means move. Not how fast you're moving, it's just not being stationary. And anyone listening to this today who is stationary, you only might have to take one step forward, like that person that contacted you, Georgie, right? And we have to also make ourselves available as humans to be that person you can contact in that example. And I remember at the end of the workshop, somebody came to me and said, if you hadn't done that, who knows? Because I've recently lost my wife. And you just don't know who you can affect in any situation. So, love the fact that you three are doing this. What's the name of the podcast again, Debbie?
Mind Yourself.
And in Double D Do Business today, remember, this is best self. We're doing a softer self. This is about real self. Self when you're desperate, self when you're low, self when you don't know where to go. And then what are your choices? Do you even know you have any? Because most people probably think they don't.
Yeah.
Georgie, is there one last thought you'd like to leave on this recording? One last thing you'd like to say?
Just always, always, always talk and know that nothing is ever that bad. And somebody, even if you think that nobody does, somebody loves you.
That's a great, great bit of advice, Georgie. Betty, one last thing.
I think it's probably to do something nice and kind for somebody, but don't do it to go and tell your friends that you just bought a homeless person a brew, or don't do it to share on social media that you've just done something amazing. Do it because it's the right thing to do, and it doesn't matter who knows about it apart from that person who you've been kind to. That's it. That's the only person you need to know.
You know, we should make it a rule for 24 hours that everybody should watch Pay It Forward all over again, yeah. The movie, right? Yeah. To make your point, Betty. Debbie, a final thought about this from you.
I think the biggest thing for me is that we have to stop assuming that if we do something, somebody else is going to respond in a certain way. And we've got to stop assuming that somebody else feels a certain way. The only person we're responsible for is ourselves. And we have to be able to be better at being better humans to every other human we interact with. We've just got to get better at it. We've got to.
I think that's three fantastic statements. Georgina, who's here with us via Zoom, great brand, by the way, Zoom, like them very much for this. Thank you for taking the time on a challenging day and a challenging conversation. And the world around us, I think you've all heard this enough today, has got a pandemic of suicide in the world. There are things going on in Western countries from everywhere on the globe that need to be challenged and need to be given space to have a reach out mechanic, a support function, because I really sense, Georgie, that there's a thirst in the world for change everywhere. And if we can help one person change, like you said earlier, then it's worth it, isn't it? So this has been Double D Do Business. We've been talking about death by suicide in light of the news today. Look out for that new podcast coming up in the next week or so with these three fabulous women showing you the way forward of how to handle pain, how to handle difficulty, and how to work things out one step at a time. We've been Double D Do Business. Debbie Halls-Evans has officially been our guest. See you on the next podcast, and every success with your learning.